presence in the house of God today. Be honored, be glorified in all that is done here. Thank you, God, for what has already taken place. I pray that for the next few moments, you will encourage, you'll lift up and bring hope to each and every person in this house. I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. I want you to, if you can, open up your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to read there in a moment, but first I just want to tell you this story in 1 Samuel 17. You all know the story about David and Goliath. It's one of the greatest stories in the whole Bible. I've preached a message on that dozens of times, and there's thousands and thousands of messages that great preachers have preached on David and the giant Goliath. David, at a young age, God anointed him, called Samuel to his father's family, and went down the line and said, none of these are the ones that God has chosen. Is there another? And his father said, well, yes, there's one more, but he's out in the pasture tending the sheep, really saying, certainly he couldn't be the one. And Samuel said, bring him to me. And he said, he is the one. And he said something so profound. He said that God, man looks on the outward appearance, and God looks on the heart. And I know that there's some people here today that maybe society has checked you out or written you off, but they're looking on what they see on the outside. When God looks at you, he's seeing the gold that is working and is transforming on the inside of you, and there's a future and there's a hope for you. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 that Goliath was taunting the armies of the Lord. In fact, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would taunt the armies of God? He was busy taking his brothers and some of the field people in the field there some lunch one day, and he said, I'll go out to meet him. A 17-year-old boy who had before taken down a bear and a lion, and he said, this Philistine giant is nothing for the power of God. And when he met him, he said, I don't come to you with a spear and a sword. Oh, I could preach on this right now. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He was invoking, even at that time, the power of and the grace and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he took that sling and he wung that stone and landed right between that 9-foot and some odd inches Philistine. And when that hit him, he fell to the ground. And then he did what any great man that loves movies would do. He went over, pulled out not his sword, but Goliath's sword, and whacked his head off right there in front of everyone. And all the enemies of Israel began to scatter because of what David had done that day. In the hands of David, he wrought the victory all on his own that was needed in that moment. And then we fast forward several years, and David again finds himself in another situation. Because if you haven't understood this yet, just because you have defeated or God has given you grace to see one enemy go down does not mean that there will not be another giant that follows suit to try to take you out and try to take you down. Another giant David faced in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 15 through 17. God didn't do the same thing with David that he did prior. And the Bible says in verse 17 that when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. In verse 16, then Ish-bibenob. Everybody say that five times real fast. Ish-bibenob. And I don't know if you're here today and you're planning on having children. This is probably not the name that you would want to call your children. In fact, I wonder when I read that, it probably is what gave this giant some issues to begin with. If you had to grow up with a name, Ish-bibenob, you would have some anger issues probably. But the Bible says he was one of the descendants of the giant, referring to the Philistine that David had taken out years prior. And this is the size of this guy. They keep on getting bigger. You see, the giant that you have defeated already, the next giant that comes along that tries to face you down will probably be bigger and more skilled at the one that you already had victory over. You know, I've talked to a lot of people. I've seen a lot of victories in a lot of homes and a lot of couples with a lot of individuals over my life. I've seen God do some powerful and mighty thing, only for that person to go into that coast mode and think, everything is okay now. The coast is clear. I won't have to face any more challenges for the rest of my life. And nothing could be further from the truth. Amen? Because if you live long enough, if you're around long enough, you're going to find out that just because you defeated one enemy doesn't mean there's not another Ish-bibinab waiting around the corner wanting to kill and destroy you. And think not that the enemy is not canty in how he approaches you. He will come out of nowhere and try to take you out when you least expect it. And the Bible says that David became weary. Then Ish-bibinab, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight and girded with a sword, and he intended to kill David. And verse 17 says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. And then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel. Here's an important lesson for you and I to look at. And I was thinking of it so strongly during the holiday seasons that giants seem to stick their heads up to the Christians more so during this time than in any other time throughout the year. When we think that we have conquered something, when we have gone through a challenge in our lives with an addiction problem, all of a sudden we get around and the dates reflect back to times gone by. And all of a sudden, if we're not very strong and very wise, we find ourselves in the midst of that. And I want to encourage you today that even though you find yourself in the midst of that, doesn't mean that the enemy is going to have victory over you. But I do want to tell you that you can't face that thing in your own strength. David came up against Ish-bibinab, and the Bible says that he became very weary. And now, because it wasn't what he had been used to that would cause him the victory that was needed, but this time he needs the help of a brother. The Bible says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine, and it killed him. Have you ever battled something before, only to find out that after you accomplished and conquered that giant, that another one was there to take its place? I have met over my life many that have overcome different things, only to find out that later on in life, that they stepped back into what God had delivered them from, and it took them down a pathway they never thought they'd go. I remember, and I never forgot, what Chuck Swindoll had told a story one time, that he had met a man who had gone through a difficult season of his life. And 20 years later, when Chuck Swindoll met him, and he looked at him in the eye, and he said, is that thing in your life dead? Referring to what was. And the man looked back at him, and he said, dormant, yes, dead, no. Because at any time, if I feed it, it comes back alive. And that Ish-bibinab is always there to try to pull you and I down. And one of the most horrific times that I ever remember is years ago, Pastor Larry and I would be going to Buffalo once a month to a drug and rehab center there, a Christian place. And a man that was there who had been delivered from heroin, had been clean for over 2 years, and he came in. He was with his pastors. I can remember it like it was yesterday. He came in. He had a three-piece suit on, tie. He and his pastors, they were looking good. Everything was great. He was strong. He got up and testified how he was clean and how he would never go back to that, only to leave that night. And Ish-bibinab came and visited him. And because he was alone, he thought, I'm going to do it just for old time's sake. And when he used that heroin that night, it took his life. And it broke our heart. And the Bible says that the same rock that David used to take out the last giant just wouldn't work this time. And this time, David wasn't standing saying, let me go out and use what I have and expect great success. But this time, he needed a brother to help him. And I want to talk to somebody today. And I want you to hear me today. That if you're overwhelmed with a challenge in your life, or maybe you're facing some kind of an ishbibinab in your life, a giant, and what you did before isn't working, I want to tell you something. That you need a brother or you need a sister that'll come alongside of you and lift you out of that like you have never been lifted out before. Because you and I were not made to face the giants in our lives alone. Listen to me, couples. Husbands and wives, singles, listen to me. The enemy has come to destroy you. And this is a time of year where we celebrate. We've got the lights up and everything decorated beautifully. But little do we know that in the background of many people's hearts and lives is the darkest moments of their life. Because they're facing down things in their life that are haunting them. And the enemy and the giants of their life are trying to overwhelm them. And trying to pull them away from the destiny that God has called for each one of us. Come on, are you listening to me today? And I can't count, listen, the messages and the cards and the phone calls, the prayers, the gifts, and the words of encouragement that have helped my wife and I, our whole family, through the season that we are in. When we faced an ishbibinab back in April, if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? And if it had not been for the people of God that would put their arms around us and say, hey, we're praying for you, we're standing with you, we're believing God with you. The little cards that would come in the mail, the little emails, the little Facebook messages lifted us up and helped us to stand against the giant that would try to come and destroy our lives. Oh, come on, give the Lord a praise on that. Because the reality of it is, the higher you go, one brother says, the greater levels, the greater devils. The higher you grow, the greater the level that you go to, the deeper that you have to build. When they were putting up the new World One Trade Center in Manhattan, the height of that building required them to go so deep into the ground to establish such a strong foundation. But there's something else that we have to go. Not only a greater depth in our relationship with God, but we need a greater relationship in our depth with one another. Listen, you can't be this individual who isolates themselves and thinks that you are going to accomplish great things in life. It will never happen. You need one another, and you need someone. You need a man, a woman. You need an individual in your life that will help you stand. You need someone. You need an Abishai to come alongside of you and lift you up. And you and I must deepen our relationships with one another. One of the greatest phenomenons that illustrates this are the great redwood trees. They are so huge. They are, many of them are towering 350 feet in the air. So big that some of them, a car can literally drive through the center of them. They are large enough, they contain in one tree enough lumber to build 45-room houses. And they have a weight, some of them, of over 4,000 tons. That's a big tree. And the other phenomenon is that they need 100 gallons of water, minimal, a day to live on. I was fascinated when I was reading the science behind them. And what is the unique thing about a redwood tree is that they don't grow alone, but they grow in groves together. And they need so much water, they not only grow in groves together, but because they grow together, they create their own fog that participates in their ability to create and have water. Oh, I love that. Wow, when I read that, I started to have a shouting thing right in my office at home. You know that when we come together in the house of God, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 29, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but even more as you see the day approaching, because when we are together, we create a fog that waters us in the house of God. And the other extraordinary thing about these redwood trees is that although they go so far up in the air, and they weigh so much, their roots only go down in the ground 5 or 6 feet. That's amazing to me. But you know what keeps them up? Their roots don't only go down in the ground 5 or 6 feet, but because they all grow together in groves, all their roots just intertangle with one another. And this brother Redwood and this brother Redwood, they say, hey, let's hook up together. Let's wrap arms together and stay strong together. You didn't know the redwood trees talk to one another, did you? And then it doesn't matter how bad the wind blows or how much rain comes. It can come against them, but they stand strong. You know why? Not because their depth, but because their depth with one another. And you and I need to consider that in our lives. That when the giants come against us, it's not the time for you and I to isolate ourselves. Let me tell you, all of us, especially us men. Come on, men, am I the only one to admit to that? When you go through something, when you face something now, I don't want to talk to no one. I don't want to see no one. Oh, I was thinking about that today. Some of the hardest times in my life that I went through. I thank God for the men of God in my life that came to me, that drove to where I was. I thought times of Chuck, Pastor Chuck Wood, coming up to my office, sitting down at my table, looking at me and say, hey, it's going to be all right. He wrapped his arm around me. He said, it's going to be all right. Pastor Larry Becker, wrapping his arm around me, loving on me. I remember one day, Mike Ognebean drove over to my house, said, get in, taking me for a ride, loving me. I can remember different ones that would call me out of nowhere. And when the wind was blowing the strongest, I don't need anybody to identify, hey, wind's blowing in your life, isn't it? Rain's coming in your life, isn't it? You should have prepared better for that, shouldn't you? No, I need somebody that will wrap their arm around with me and say, come on, you're not going down, because if you go down, I'm going with you, and we're not going yet. God hasn't called us. We're going to stand strong. We're going to face this giant. Ish-babinav is not going to take us down. Come on now, give God some praise in that. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone falls alone, he's in big trouble. Likewise, this is for all the married couples. People lying close together can keep each other warm. Oh, yes. But how can one be warm alone? So if you're thinking of getting upset, you're going to sleep on the couch, you're dumb. You're going to get cold. Stay together, husbands and wives. Stay together. Work it out. Don't let Ish-babinav come in and kick you out of what God has called you to be at this time of your life. Call somebody, a brother or a sister, up on the phone and say, will you pray and stand with me? Verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and they can conquer. And a three, they're better off yet, because a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And David knew, no matter how tall he was, no matter how strong he was, he needed to be connected to an Abishai that would help him defeat the giants that were in his life. I want to encourage you today, in particular through the holiday season. You don't need to worry about how many gifts you're going to get, how big your tree is. You need an Abishai that will come alongside of you and help you stare and fight down that giant in your life. And one of the New Testament scriptures, and I want to just insert this, and I've been advised not to, but I just can't leave this alone. And my heart breaks for what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. My heart breaks. No matter what side of that you are on, a young man lost his life. I was on the radio with my friend, Pastor Roderick Hennings from Buffalo last week, and I told them, if Roderick Hennings and I had been able to meet that young man earlier in that day, he wouldn't have been in the trouble and wouldn't have ended up the way that whole situation. And that's not saying that we're anything special, but I'm going to tell you what, we are Abishais that will come alongside of people, and I don't care how bad somebody is and how mean and how much trouble they can get into. I've worked with people that the grace of God, when we join arm in arm, will lift them out of the gutter and give them hope for tomorrow. And we don't need to be fighting with one another. We need to grab arm in arm. We don't need to be burning and looting and all of that. We need to grab arm in arm. We need to have some love. We need to stand together, because if one falls, we'll all go down because they're alone. But if we're together, we're going to make it. We're going to stand up and we're going to conquer and overcome. There's so much division, not only in our country, but in the world, that God is calling the church not to be divided anymore, but to be united and stand together. Come on today. Stand together. And the Apostle Paul even knew it. I'm going to close with this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 5, he says, "For even when we came into Macedonia," and you can read about this in Acts chapter 16. He says, "Even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest." And know this, when you're tired and worked to the end, the enemy knows that's an open door that he will come in and try to take from you and pummel you. Paul says, "We had no rest." He said, "We were afflicted on every side." They were in front, on the side, in the back. Conflicts without. Look at that. Fears within. And what happened on the outside infected him internally, emotionally. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, hear me this morning. That is the enemy's job, is to deplete you emotionally. So you can say, you know, forget it. What's the use? I'm just going to go do this. I'm going to go see this one. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. It's a giant in your life. And then the Bible says in verse 6, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6, he says, "But God," come on, everybody say, "But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by" what? "The coming of Titus," of another brother. Woo! I got Abishai over here. I got Titus over here. I'm not alone. God sent comfort through another brother. A brother from another mother. Paul says that when I asked God for comfort, he didn't drop some vapor out of the sky and, "Woo, I feel gold dust or chicken feathers falling over me." No, he sent Titus to him to lift him up and to encourage him and to help him to get through and to overcome that giant that was trying to kill him. And God wants to do that to you today. And I don't know what your ish babinab is today. I don't know what your giant is. Maybe you're facing a giant from your past. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe just the remembrance of what you got. Listen, every holiday season I begin to think about this. And I'm not going to bring it up again. From here on out, all the messages that I preach are going to be warm, fuzzy, and cozy. But I remember. Oh, I remember my mom. She just going in. 3-4 weeks before the holidays. "Mom, what's wrong?" I just don't like the holidays are so hard. "I lost my daughter. I lost my son. Your father is an alcoholic." And I'd see my dad come home. "You know, it's holiday time. That's the free license to drink like a maniac." And he'd come home and he'd start slapping my mom and then my brothers. And it was hell on earth. And do you think I don't think about that? When the holidays come now, I don't have to worry about that in my own life, but I think about that in other people's lives. And I want to spend my life to be an Abishai to someone, to be a Titus to someone, to say, "Hey, I'm going to stand with you," not to judge you or to cry, "You're wrong, don't do this, don't do that," but to stand alongside of you and say, "Come on. It's a new day. You don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to let that giant pull you down, take you out, and just trample you down. You can know that if God is for us, and God's not only for you, I'm for you, and there's an whole army of people at the City Church at 210 East Main Street that'll lock arms and roots with you. And when the wind blows, we're not going down because we're hooked up together." Come on, give God a good praise on that today. Thank you, Lord. Debbie, if you just come to the keyboard. God, I give you thanks. Close your eyes, bow your head. If you're struggling in your life today, I want the prayer folk to come down here. I want some Abishais and some Tituses to come down here right now. And you don't have to face and go this alone. Maybe everything is, maybe there's something missing. I remember the first year that both my mom and dad were gone. I'm 17 years old. I'm looking around and say, how did I get to this place in my life? How did this happen to me? I'm feeling so empty, feeling so lost. Maybe you're here today and that loss has pressed its face up against who you are as an individual. That ish babinab, that giant that causes trouble. Maybe it is an addiction. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's depression. Maybe you're worried and you're struggling over what you did. You can't get past it. I want you to know that God specializes in miracles in your life today. And we're going to pray with you and believe God with you. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. You're wondering why you're struggling with this stuff. Why these things are happening in your life. And God has brought you to a moment, brought you to a place today for you to give your heart to Christ. You can do it where you're at, but you can come down and you can just say to one of these people down here, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I need help in my life. I need him to lift me up. Maybe you're here today and you've given your heart to Christ, but the giants have come along. They have tried to hurt you and pull you back. God is bigger than what you're facing and what you're going through today. I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying and I'm going to close, I want you to get out of your seat and come down here right now. I don't want you to wait. I want you to go, just get right up. Thank God for the one man that's come down. Some more of you, just get up out of your seat. I'm going to close in prayer. And while I'm praying and while I'm closing, you get up, you come on down. You tell these people, I need Jesus in my life. I need him to help me with this giant in my life. I'm troubled over this. This is shaking me to the core. I'm hurting. I can't even believe it's going to be Christmas time. I'm feeling this way. I'm overloaded with this. The pain, the guilt. One of the biggest ish babinabs ever is guilt. And Jesus has come to lift that guilt from you today. Father, in Jesus' name, as I pray, you come. I'm going to close in just a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my friends today. I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray that you will lift them. I pray that you will encourage them and you will strengthen their hearts. And God, I ask you, Lord, by your grace today, that Abishai's and Titus's will come and come alongside of those who are hurting and those who are lost and broken. And Lord, the struggles of people's past will not define their future. I give you all the thanks and the praise for that. Now, God, as that cloud is upon those redwood trees, that fog of source and sustenance is upon them. Let it be upon this place here today, I ask, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hey, before you leave, even if you didn't come down front, I want you to come if you need to still. Tell somebody, take somebody's hand and say, you're not alone today. Come on and do that before you leave. You don't know what those words will mean to somebody. Just look at it. Say, you're not alone. On the way out,